Well, hey, Gundam Maniacs, welcome to the Gundam Explained Show Live. I'm your host, Adam Blue, and joining me as always is Steven of Midnight Hatter. Steven, what's up, man?
Not a lot. Always my favorite part of the week. You know, it's like almost the weekend, but it's honestly better than the weekend because we get to talk about Gundam. We usually are going to get into video games. Come on, let's be honest. Like,
yeah, exactly. What's good about a weekday, and I appreciate the weekday evenings, even though it's like I got to work the next morning, but it's almost like, yeah, since you have that responsibility of work, it's like, well, I'm not really going to go out and do too much, you know, so just kind of stay in and talk Gundam and all that.
Exactly.
So I've got, not that I'm going to have time to do it the whole time, but I got that chat. The thing that pops up now says, Yannick Shadow, you are first. Oh,
my. Hey, sweet. The wrong
thing. No. When I try to adjust this stuff live, it just is a no. But Ultronimus, Gianni, Halo, Giant Robots and God. Hey, that's a pretty cool name.
Those are my two favorite things.
That's awesome. But cool show today. I have a lot that I want to talk about. And this is like a way where like, Steven and I could talk. There's so much I wanted to talk to Steven about that actually everyone else, it would be cool to join in on. But then a little later, we're going to talk about what the title is, and that has to do with the Tamashii Nations announcement, because I guess they did an event recently. And there's this thing going up for pre-order tonight that I want so bad, but I don't think it's going to happen because it's $500. So we'll get into that. Yeah.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. First of all, what I want to do real quick is shout out Art Rovo Gundam. This show is sponsored by Art Rovo Gundam. Link in the description. It's an awesome store for buying your Gunpla, especially because the hookup with me is the code Gundam Explain, promo code Gundam Explain 78. Will get you free shipping on two items or more. So even I use my promo code, and I actually just did this week. I ordered the Master Grade GM, the last one that they made, which yeah. I can't wait. And then also they had some metallic Gundam markers, but more of the fine tip, so I can do those little details. Cause that's another thing I want to do is like super detail.
It is really hard to find like those fine tip paint markers. And it's one of the few things that like I will go name brand on. So like, for instance, I've got, Sharpie makes acrylic paint markers that do the same thing that you would expect a Gundam marker to do. But I mean, if you look at the size of that chisel tip, you're not getting anything. I mean, it's great for like broad strokes, but
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Cause a lot of times to get, the bigger paint on, because sometimes it works almost as good as a paintbrush, which mm-hmm. is pretty crazy.
They have there's a leveling agent that they apply to it. And it's, I guess technically it's a retarder because it slows the drying time of the paint. And that's what allows the paint to level over time. So
interesting. Even more of a reason when they kind of say to wait. Even though, you know how sometimes we want to rush, I top coat it 30 seconds later. Oh, no. And it's like, no, Adam. And they say, give it 24 hours, but I wait. I wait an hour. No.
There's that like thing where it's like, you know, even though acrylic paints typically dry pretty fast, the surface dries faster than the undercoat, right? So even though it's dry to the touch, what's underneath hasn't had time to bond to the plastic yet. So it is possible, even if you're just doing like a second pass, like a second coat on an acrylic kit, which, you know, it should be easy. There's a chance that you'll pull the paint off the kit. So,
Good tips. Yeah, hey, tips from Steven. There's got to be some like slogan I use whenever you're giving Gunpla tips. If you guys aren't watching his show, you're missing out. Real quick, also, thanks to Art Rovo Gundam, I was able to pick up the Real Grade 2.0. There's so many things. It's Real Grade RX 78-2 version 2.0. He's actually got some available too. I think he just got a shipment.
Yeah.
But also, I did the review video, and if you commented on it, he has supplied four for me to give away. So you got to get that video I have, just comment like your favorite iteration of the RX-78-2. I don't think there's a wrong answer. They're so different. Though I love this. I think part of it is because I just got it. But no, yeah, check out that video. Also, what was fun is I did the video on the colony drop, just more of like the numbers behind a large object falling. Is it realistic? In my opinion, I think there would be more, maybe more long-term damage than they show. But I also think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think in early UC Gundam they ever really show enough for you to be able to determine, like it's still open to interpretation how much damage the Earth went through, right?
Yeah, you know, I think that our 2025 project should be a Ancient Apocalypse style, like Hancock documentary about the colony drops, and we'll play it completely straight faced and be like,
"That's a good idea." Here we're at the site. Sydney, Australia. As you can see, there is a city here. But if this was good, no. Did you finish watching that? By the way, you said you and your wife were watching.
We did start watching it. We haven't finished because now there's two seasons. We started the first, so we haven't gotten through the first yet. But I mean, it's really fascinating stuff. And one of the things that I think is appealing about his presentation style is that, you know, and this is the case, is it's like nothing is definitive, which is kind of goes back to what you're saying with the colony drop. Is it's like, we don't have any definitive answers. And I think that that's what makes it even more interesting, is because it leaves room to speculate. And
it does. Yeah. And what's cool is season two, I think it's interesting. It still goes down that same path, but it's different enough to where it's kind of looking at it at a different angle. Cause I think the first one has a lot of you speculating, while the second one is almost like, here's something that had to have happened. It's like, this is here for a reason. How, you know, and it's more of like, well, yeah, there's no explanation, which, okay, I don't want to get down this path, but we'll do this for a minute, guys. Sideline.
Indulge us.
No, I was listening to this podcast. There's this guy named Matt Beal, and he, I guess his family owns Beal's department stores or something like that. I don't know if that sounds familiar. He has a podcast, but he interviews Graham Hancock, Jimmy from Bright Insight, like all those ancient history people. Yeah. And he had a guy on today named Ashton. I forget his last name. It starts with an F. Anyway, he's the guy that had been, and I don't know if you guys ever saw this about the Malaysian flight that disappeared, the three orb. There's video got leaked of three orbs spinning around it, and a fourth orb appears, and then the thing disappears.
Oh yeah. I mean, I remember hearing about this.
So that guy has put together, like, I was listening to the podcast this morning, just a solid, I don't know what, facts, whatever, to speculate on, that the U.S. government has technology to allow things to teleport, which you would think the U.S. government would have some technology we don't know about. It's just teleportation. And apparently it was supposed to be a warning to China, because I had a bunch of Chinese or people defecting to China that were 23 semiconductor scientists aboard and two Iranians with fake passports. We're on board this plane. Okay. And then that happened. And then the guy that killed Osama bin Laden tweeted earlier this year, the Malaysian flight was a warning to China. So there's even more stuff has to do with the Supreme Court, like where the families are trying to sue Boeing in the United States, but they dismissed the cases. Like this is not Gundam, although that would be some good Gundam conspiracy stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, that would be
I mean, I think even just some Gundam comedy around that same angle, you know, it's like, did you ever watch that series Kunk on Earth?
No. What is it called?
They memed the heck out of this this woman. She does like this satirical series about, you know, talking about history and things like that. The most famous one being like, it's hard to imagine that I'm walking through the oldest city on Earth. Because I'm not. That's in Iraq, and it's miles away. So it's like, can you imagine her walking through Jabro and being like, it's hard to imagine that I'm walking through the first city struck by a colony. Because I'm not. That's in Sydney, which is miles away.
I love that type of humor. I'm going to check this out. I have never heard about this.
Yeah.
You always tell me about these things that I never... That's getting into Gundam, I've learned so much about life. But no, I'm going to backtrack.
Yeah, reel it back in.
It's really back in Gundam again. Okay, you see Zionic Shadow in the chat. Him and Sieg New York provided me with the Requiem for Vengeance kits. So expect a stream build, which, oh yeah, you
Likewise.
You got yours too. So yeah, we're going to build stream, and it's possible that you and I might both do it this week, and we're going to try to coordinate our schedules.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. If we can make it work, because obviously, you know, Saturday we've got the local Gundam Builders World Cup here, locally to me. And so I'm going to go check that out and get some photos for you guys just to, you know, I feel bad because sometimes, you know, Hobby Town will post images of some of the, competitors. And of course, everyone's always really good about sharing their entries and things like that. But, you know, sometimes you kind of want to see them all in one place. And I think that, you know, especially since this isn't one that I'm going to be entering, it'll be cool to.
That's pretty cool that you're so close to one of those.
Yeah.
But if Saturday doesn't work out, Sunday, I'm also down. Because I am trying to do it when I find those blocks of time.
Exactly.
Since I think I have the groove where I can just easily turn on my camera, hit stream. I'm going to start doing that more because, this is a little bit of a spoiler. I did finish building it. I couldn't help it. So the point then with the stream is I am going to detail it because I think panel lining this is going to be so fun. There are so many panel. There's more panel lines, I think, on this than maybe not the Dendrobium, but, you know, most kits this size. And I think that's where the fun is going to be.
And I think that it probably lends itself really well to like an ink wash, like doing some like kind of Nuln oil or something on it where it's like you get a lot of gunk in the creases and crevices.
Would that still be doable with the Tamiya Accent panel line ink?
It's possible. I would be careful with it because obviously the panel line ink, this stuff, can eat plastic. So like you don't want to leave it on the plastic too much. Like that's why you would never want to soak a part in this because it'll make it really brittle and come apart on you.
So that's not okay. So I wouldn't use that to do washes. I would just use that to help with the panel lining, which I do anyway. But because I've never had it break, but also I never leave a bunch pooled anywhere. So
right, yeah, like who does?
well, I think I would if I didn't know. But what would you use then for a wash?
So I guess you could do like, an acrylic wash. Basically what I would do is take any kind of, ink or paint and just thin it down until it's thin enough that it will just kind of run off the plastic. And then once it's dry, you can kind of go in with a Q-tip and, you know, wipe off in areas. Sometimes I'll even use, this stuff. This is just like Higgins, artist ink, which is like, you know, if you were doing traditional inking on drawings, you would use this stuff, like the India ink. That stuff does not, at least not in my experience, has not melted any kits.
and is that because those are acrylic or something?
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know what these are based. It's a good question. It says it's non-waterproof.
Because this says, you know, extremely flammable liquid.
Yeah, and I guess stuff's not flammable.
Okay, so I guess that is where that part comes in. The reason that it's tearing it up is because this has more. And I wonder if that's what maybe helps it sort of settle the way it does. Because I love using this for panel line, like the RX78-2 2.0. This was all with the ink right there. Love the way it turned out. Yeah, thanks to Signorical. I'm going to be streaming anyway this weekend on Saturday for sure. But yeah, if we don't sync up Saturday, we'll do it Sunday because I have that, the Gundam EX. There's just so much.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about events real quick because you're just saying that you're going to this, the Gunpla Builders World Cup? That's what it's called? Okay. And that's official Bandai thing?
Exactly. So Bandai does two versions of the event, right? They do the online version and they do the in-person versions of the event. And like for the in-person ones, it's always like hosted by like a local, whether it's Hobby Town, whether it's, you know, whatever the case may be. And so they've done a few of them. And, you know, so far, you know, they did some in like Virginia Beach area. Obviously, you know, we had Gunpla Luke on my show last week and, you know, he is, central, so like Oklahoma, so that area as well. So it's like these are kind of like the regional competitions, and then all of those winners then get, you know, entered into the World Cup, right?
That's cool. Yeah, hopefully I can at least visit one. But so when it comes to events, though, I'm going to be at Anime Frontier, which is actually, it's the same as Anime NYC. It's just the Texas version. And I didn't know it was the same, but I got the press passes, so I'm going to be going.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know, because they're going to have the Gundam base there. So I went to the same thing last year. Again, they got me a pass. I did that little video. That was fun. And I'm going to try to do the same, although I've been ahead of time. I'm trying to, like, I went on Reddit, try to find who else is going that I can, because I don't know anyone that's going.
That's what's Brad Swale again.
Well, that was WeebCon.
Which, oh, that one was WeebCon.
Oh. Which I wouldn't mind going to that again. But now, that's the thing. Like, you know, I met up with you and others on the East Coast, and then I even met up with Ian and others on the West Coast, but there's like no one around here that, so I'm trying to reach out like on Reddit. I don't know if Anime Frontier has like a Discord or something. I got to figure that out to try to find other people to connect with. Hey, Zionic Shatter, you'll have to tell me if they're going to be there because they weren't last year.
Yeah. And they weren't at the Gundam base near me. So that was,
Cause I'm, you know, last year I got the, I can't believe I spent that money, but I remember having to pay for it, the Perfect Grade Unleashed, the, this one, the exclusive Gundam Universe white base version. And then the stand that came with the debris, which I would actually buy another one which I think they'll have that. But yeah. So what I'm trying to do is also if I find more people or, maybe ask if anyone in my family wants to help. Like, I would love if someone could film me walking around because I loved doing the little jokes as I was going around, but holding the camera, it wasn't as fun as like if I was, I had a camera like on me, like watching me, and then I turn around and say something stupid. You know,
see, Adam is he's slowly devolving into one of these streamers that has like the bodyguards with him and then goes and pranks people. And
I wouldn't mind getting a bodyguard like that. 2B from Nier Automata.
That's a booty guard. That's a little different.
No, that's cool. But no, I can't wait to go because I had a fun time last time. Another thing too is, I was almost thinking of maybe one of the days I should go and cosplay, but you know, I have my Luke, I have my Alucard, the Batman. I just would do because it's so hot. It's so much work. Like, I hear the actors complain in the movies, like about how hard it is to be in costume. I'm like, come on guys, you get to be Batman. And then I, you know, for Halloween, I was wearing that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the amount of sweat, couldn't even turn my head. So I was thinking, and if I can trim my gut down just a little bit more, because I've been losing a lot of weight, like I have these large shirts now that I bought over the summer and they're just too big. I would go as the White Ranger.
Ooh, okay.
Because I have the helmet and I have the sword, the replicas up in the attic. But if I could get a suit and not look like a middle-aged man.
The thing is, if you go with like the ninja version of the White Ranger, like the from the movie.
Oh, yeah. But then my helmet.
But then
that's the thing. I have this helmet that I would just love to run around doing karate kicks. I just imagine myself running, doing karate kicks, and then like the helmet flies off my head and cracks on the floor. And I'm like,
whoops.
That just seems like an Adam thing. But well then, Zionic Shadow is saying, you guys come to NYC, you'll have 11 bodyguards. I was actually just thinking about that. I think yesterday on a walk, I was like, I need to get with Steven and plan out when we can, you know, looking at finances and work, go meet up with the Sieg New York crew. I think
would be absolutely. It is going to be embarrassing though, because then everyone's going to realize just how short we are.
Well, I guess I'll just have to buy those shoes they make, right? That, that have the, you know,
some lifts and yeah. Well, see, that's all the more reason for you and I to get stormtrooper costumes just for the jokes.
Oh, there you go. That's a good, easy cosplay. So yeah, that's the 6th through the 8th, I think. So if anyone is in this area and it wants to go to the Anime Frontier in Fort Worth, Texas, let me know. I'd love to meet up. I'd love to walk around and talk with people as I'm doing it, because last year I was by myself. I met people, though, when I sat and built the Gunpla, so I'm going to do that again, because that was fun.
Now, do you think you'll sit and build another entry grade Gundam, or are you going to do the Pikachu model this time? Just like,
no, you know what? They didn't have the, I don't think they had the Pikachu model last time. So if they have that this time,
because they usually do something right, they do like a Gundam and a Pikachu, or like a Gundam and a Goku, something like that, right?
Ah, okay, maybe they'll do that this time, and I'll check, because I've built too many of those entry grade RX-82s. I think I finished them and used them for fodder.
Right. At this point, you're like a Forrest Gump, like when he's disassembling the gun. And
oh, yeah, that's right. It's like, oh, yeah, because I remember I was talking and building, and people were like, wow, you do that fast. I'm like, I don't think I do it that fast, but it's because I've done this too much.
You know? Right.
Anyone that would be watching, that watches my channel, would be like, Adam, I can't believe you did it that way. Hey, Robert just jumped in. The Tiger Ranger, right? Yeah, that's, I guess, the White Ranger, but I guess they call that the Tiger. So another thing, I did a stream last weekend that was like Godzilla and Gashapon, because what was cool was at the Grapevine Mills Mall, which I don't know if you've ever heard of that, because in the South, I guess it's, I live right near it, but like it was built in the late 90s and it's huge, and maybe not by today's standards, but people usually travel from like Oklahoma or Louisiana to come to it.
Okay. So it's, so it's like the Texas version of like Potomac Mills is what we have in Virginia here, which is,
I never heard of that. So that's probably the same thing.
Yeah. Cool.
But it has like a Lego land. It used to have an aquarium. It used to have this giant Virgin Records store, which was awesome, but that was like 20 years ago. I'm aging myself. And I miss it, but Bandai opened a Gashapon store. Okay. I was like, okay, that's cool. My wife like told me, she like sent me this thing, and I was like, oh wow, that's amazing. We should check it out sometime. And I did this past weekend. And so, yeah, you walk in and it's just all, this all it is, Gashapon machines. There's not even a checkout counter, because you just,
you're paying the machines.
The credit card on the thing, you get your tokens.
Man, that's even more dangerous.
Is
like,
it is. You know why? Because if you use a card, you have to spend at minimum $10. Okay. So you get 5 coins, right? And to get the mobile suit ensemble that I really like is 4 tokens.
Oh.
So that's $8.
Yeah.
You know, and so like on one hand, it's like, okay, that actually is almost how much they would cost, because
to just, yeah,
I would usually, like the way I got most of mine is importing them. I have a ton. I don't know if you remember videos I made before where I have a ton of them.
I mean, they're awesome. Like
I love them. Ensemble. It reminds me of getting little robot things in the gumball machines as a kid. Same thing, Gashapon, you know. But they usually are kind of pricey. Like I've spent $90 on one. It was the Nightingale, which is insane. But also, like, I'll spend $60 and get like a 5-pack, which that's still, you know, a lot. But it's because they don't have them anyway. So it's
Well, it's one of those things where like, culturally, there are a couple of things about Japan that are so different than the United States that just like, and Gashapon's one of them, right? Because like, even if you look at Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, it's like he has a Gashapon machine in there, right? Like you throw the crystals in there and you get like just random little balls with the devices in them. It's like baked into the culture. They love having little balls
with Astrobot in them. There, and so that new Astrobot game, in order to unlock all the stuff for the main hub world, it's all these Gashapon machines to get costumes, to get the level. So I'm sitting there putting all my coins in to get things in it, because I beat the game but wasn't getting anything. So I went and I had all this money. It's interesting. That is very much a cultural Japanese thing. But
fascinating.
What was interesting was it's funny. I found the one I wanted, and they probably had to have maybe 80 machines. Wow. 5 to 6 were Gundam related, and 3 of them were Godzilla, but the Godzilla ones were just random things. The out of all of the Gundam ones, maybe 4 of them were, no, there was more. There was like 6 of them were Mobile Suit Ensemble, and then the others were like the busts or the head.
Oh yeah, like these guys, the little
Like you have. Yeah. And so I remember I saw the one I wanted. It had like the Calibarn, which is cool, but I kind of didn't care. It had the Gaian, and that's the only one from the original 79 I don't have.
Ooh.
So I put my coin in and spin, and then the lady's like, she comes up behind me. She's like, did you just put one coin in? And I was like, oh, is it? I was like, oh, four. And she goes, and it's empty. And I'm like, and she's like, but I have more in the back. Let me go grab them. I'm like, all right. And I guess I'm spending four. So she got a bag and dumped it in there. And I was like, okay, which one's going to fall into the thing first? But anyway, first shot, I got it.
There we go, man.
I know. It was meant to be. So yeah. That was so awesome that I got it. And it's really neat because this comes with a stand for the shield to sit on.
Just the shield.
Yeah, it's very interesting. That kind of just helps with, you know, it not drooping down, even though these are very sturdy anyway. So here's the thing. Like, that's fun, but that would be dangerous. Alan Mitchell's asking where this was. This was at the Grapevine Mills Mall. They just opened the store. And I just feel like it would be dangerous because if I go in, I'd have to spend 10 as a minimum. And I'd get five. It cost four for one. Then I'd have this one extra. And I don't know if they had any machines that were one token. I think I saw a bunch that were two. So then I'd have to buy another, but then it would cost 10 for me to get. So I'd have to spend. Yeah.
You know what this reminds me of is if you ever saw like Father of the Bride, the hot dog and bun situation.
Don't remember. I know what movie you're talking about, though.
So it's like the hot dogs come in a pack of eight, but the hot dog buns come in a pack of two or 10. Right. And he's like. And so he's like taking the two extra buns out and you're constantly trying to find that equilibrium of like, how many hot dogs do I have to buy to fill this many buns? And it's like, so so the answer is 30, you would have to do 30 because then breaking it down. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying $30.
Yeah. Right. Cause $30 and then four, right. Divisible by.
I'm going to trust you. I have my human calculator when I need math done. Thank you. So that's the thing. I'd want to do this more, but that should be more of like, if you know, we don't know what to do that weekend, let's go hang out at the mall. Oh, I'm here. I might as well just do one. But like, if you're not careful, I didn't have time to look at everything else. They could have had other non Gundam things that I would have liked.
I mean, they actually had Godzilla.
Yeah. I was about to say, so speaking of that, the same stream, I was showing off the Super 7, that's the brand, 2023, you know, Godzilla Minus One, which I love this. This is exactly what I want from a Godzilla figure because it's bigger than like the Tamashii SH Monster Arts. Fully articulated. I mean, really articulated, like even how it like can turn and like, you know, you do so much stuff like that. That's one problem, the tail coming off. Wow. Okay, so this is what I want to get to with this. So the head, while I was on the stream, I was trying to take off the head to put on its alternate. And it might be hard to show, but there's like this little V-shaped, it's going to be hard to show, like edge right here. As I was pulling it off on stream, I finally got it. And it might be, again, hard to see. I stabbed myself in the thumb, and even to this day, it hurts because it was actually pretty deep. And because it was like a V shape, like a pyramid, it got larger the further it went in. And yeah, it was like while I was on stream before I built this. So like, I'm like, and then I have some tissues that I was like trying to dry the blood with as I was working on the, and oh man,
that's a little dangerous, man.
It is. Yeah. Especially just then with the tail. So if I was to complain about this, these things go for $85, but I found it for $70.
Not which bad.
That's, you know, still a lot, but the SH Monster Arts are more expensive. Yeah.
And I mean, this has got to be one of my favorite proportioned Godzillas, right?
Yes.
Like there are other Godzillas that are more dinosaur-like, but I prefer this one that's like the upright standing.
Yeah, that's what's interesting about, like, as much as I think the American Godzilla movies lately have been pretty cool, I don't necessarily think it's the best design. It's a good iteration that's different enough. But yeah, I like this design. I also like the Shin Godzilla, where it's even taller and like the hands are even more in, but the neck is a little longer and it looks scary and all that. And it's interesting because I was talking to you about this the other day. I sent you that article. Like, why do people like Godzilla? Like, it's kind of a universal thing where even growing up, I didn't have a Godzilla toy. I didn't really watch the movies. I remember seeing the 98 one in the theater because I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, I went to the theater all the time. But there's that thing about it being fear, disaster. It's like a representation of disaster, yet there's a comfort in the fact that it's not real. Yeah. You know, it's almost like how zombies are really popular because people are killing humans, but they're zombies. They're not humans.
Right. And there's a, I guess, you know, to go to your friend who does the dream analysis, like zombie dreams are typically something interpreted around like consumption, right? Like, so zombies, just because they consume living brains, there's this idea of like the insatiable consumption. And I think that that's why zombies are such an American phenomenon. Like, you don't typically see European movies about zombies. And if you do, they're slightly different. Like, that's where you get 28 days later, 28 weeks later, where it's like the running zombies. And it's because they see it more as like not the same way that Americans do, where it's like the humans are, you know, just kind of lumbering around mindlessly just eating. Right.
Right. Interesting point, because I don't care for running zombies, even though I've kind of gotten over it, because that's kind of what's taken over.
Yeah.
That's it. I guess the running is more of the fear of something coming at you. That's actually more general horror. And then I think
pursuit.
The old zombies, like you said, there's that consumption element, the slow, it's like you're scared of it. There's something bad about it you can recognize, but really you could get away from it.
You could.
But it could consume you if you're not careful.
Exactly. And I think that that's like kind of the underlying psychology of zombies. And so, you know, going back to that article that you shared, like there is like there's an underlying psychology that that exists in Godzilla and Godzilla fandom, that something about the combination of disaster and then like the consequences of, you know, human hubris, like, because obviously Godzilla being inspired by, you know, nuclear weapons tests.
Right. You know, that's funny too, because sometimes when I'll get like just when I'm watching a Godzilla movie and it's like a head-on shot of Godzilla, sometimes my cat flashes in my mind. And there's something to that, because the cat, at least my cat, doesn't really care about you. It will just walk all over whatever. But then it's kind of cute in its cuddly little way. But it kind of doesn't care, you know what I mean? Or it acts like it doesn't care. And so I think there's something too with that, where it's like we're seeing an animal that's kind of doing its own thing. Like, it doesn't really care. You know how cats, right? Your cat's like that too, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, shoot, even one of the neighborhood cats, this happened last weekend. You know, one of the neighborhood cats was hanging out on our porch and my daughter came outside. We were petting it. And, you know, I knew, I just had this feeling, because he was being really friendly. He was rubbing against her. You know, he was kind of purring. He was rubbing against me and all this stuff. But then there was this moment where his tail was twitching and I was like, hey, baby, don't touch him. And he snapped and scratched at her leg. And it's like, it's like that with animals, right?
Yeah.
It's like, now she's okay. It was more the suddenness scared her more than anything. Even recently there was like that whole like bear movement, right? Like, everyone was like obsessed with going out into the woods and like living with bears. It was a thing on Twitter, I guess, but
wow, you know,
there's this weird thing with humans where it's like we want to be near dangerous animals, even though we know that they're dangerous animals.
And so going to what Alan Mitchell is saying, same reason everyone likes dinosaur and disaster movies. Yeah, like, even though I've never been a dinosaur person, like, the Jurassic Park movies are awesome. You know. Yeah. There's something inside me that was like, that's not how dinosaurs are supposed to look. No, that's impossible. But I love finding out nowadays, like, how they would have looked very different. Like, even I saw this, I don't know, it was a video or an article where, like, even like the posture that they have them in would not be their default posture for some dinosaur. And it would be more bird-like, you know? And it's like, wow, kind of going back to the, Alan Mitchell bring up the disaster thing. That's a really unique thing about Gundam that I love, is like at the beginning of 0079, there's the narration, the colony drop. That's a disaster. Wow. It's like, think of living on Earth. We're so advanced. We're in space in these colonies, but then we can use that as a weapon It's like, how advanced are we then if we're willing to do that? But then once you get into the main series, the whole backdrop being these mobile suits is causing disaster. Not only, you know, in the first Gundam episode and subsequent Gundams, like even in Zeta Gundam, it starts that way too with the Titans Mark IIs falling. But then I think F-91, the beginning of F-91 probably is some of the best disaster style where everyone's having to run away and then you're meeting all these different people. And it's almost like ID4, you know, like it's almost like Independence Day, you know, because there's even the dog in F-91.
Oh, yeah. Well, and, you know, it's so funny because there's something to this weird, like, maybe it's a fantasy element that we have where, I don't know about you, but I know for a fact that me and my wife constantly do this when we're watching TV shows and movies where there's like some kind of disaster going on, whether it's like zombies chasing people or like, you know, something going on. And it's like, wow, like what would we even do? Or like you, if you saw like A Quiet Place.
I haven't seen that, but I've heard of it.
And so it's like, oh man, you know, you think about like they have a baby and it's like, how do you be quiet with a baby?
Oh yeah. That's
so, you know,
you'd be thinking of that. Cause you,
and so we always think about that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, my dog, like she barks for no reason. And it's like, well, I guess we'd have to leave the dog behind if this stuff ever happened in real life. It's like, and so there's almost like this, it's like a doomsday prepper, like an instinct that we have.
No, it's a survival instinct. I think that, and this kind of goes back to what I was talking about in the Colony Drop video where an asteroid probably did come down and cause this devastation before, and we were all in survival mode, and now that's kind of baked into our DNA to where a lot of times we connect with disaster. We think, oh, how would we survive? I remember in high school always talking about, guys, we go to the mall, we go to the store with the swords, and if zombies came, this is what we would do.
Yeah, everybody does it. Like, it's without fail, no matter what whatever the context is, we all have this fantasy of like, this is what we would do in this situation. And it's like, some of the plans are obviously preposterous, but.
Right. But man, I remember, and it was funny. I loved zombies in high school where this was another weird thing where like, no one would appreciate zombies that were around me, like at school. Like I tell them, there's be like one or two
10 years too early.
Well, no, there'd be one or two people I'd meet that would know of George Romero. And so it'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, this zombie movie, that zombie movie. And then I even remember I had a theater class and it was like a mandatory theater class. It wasn't like I was in theater, which I probably should have done. That would have been fun. But we were supposed to do a silent like thing. And luckily everyone listened to me in my group and we made a zombie movie where we had shotguns and we were like, you know, it was silent. But then after I graduated high school, maybe years later, actually, The Walking Dead show.
Yeah.
And then zombies are so popular. I'm like, where was everybody back when I was trying to get everyone into zombies? And maybe it's that. It's the people that were my age liked it, maybe didn't talk about it. And then as they got older and got into those jobs, because they're influenced by George Romero, you know?
Yeah.
But hey, speaking of disasters, mindless zombieism, we're going to look at the newly announced.
That's a great segue.
Because boy, is my bank account going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
So yep. Tamashii Nations, which is, I guess, the name of Bandai's like action figure line, because they have so many names: SH Figure Arts, SH Monster Arts, and then even like Metal Build and then Robot Spirits. But it's like Tamashii Nations, Metal Build, blah blah blah. But they announced a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, they did.
Some stuff I don't care about. Some stuff is awesome. Some stuff I think you would like. But at the end of the day, a lot of this stuff is expensive. So
yeah, which yeah,
first includes. Exia, I guess, and this must be like a Metal Build.
Yeah, it looks to be.
Some things I don't really pay. Oh yeah, it says Metal Build Exia. Some things I don't really pay too much attention to if I don't really care. I mean, the Metal Builds are awesome.
I like how they have to delineate that it's a display only, as if it's not in a glass case.
Oh, I know, that is kind of strange what they're trying to get at there. I thought this was cool. This is a Metal Build Burning Gundam. And I guess it's just trying to either that's something the Burning Gundam did and I forgot, or that it's just showing its insides.
Yeah, it looks to be like some kind of like sort of demonstration of the articulation, right? So it's like an exploded view of what is inside the arm.
That's really cool. They'd win the Gunpla Builder World Cup.
Yeah, they would, absolutely.
Okay, and this is pretty cool. This is, and I was actually asked Shirtlad about this before the stream. This is a crossbone half cloth. You know, we've heard of the full cloth. Apparently, this is something that just showed up in a manga recently, and there's not too much about it. So that's pretty neat sweet. That they continue this. But apparently, it has where the shoulder is a little bigger, but it has these wires plugged into, I thought it was an arm gun, but it's like, I think more of a giant blade and maybe even a gun.
Yeah.
That's a neat little thing to have. Cause I like when you see the technology kind of being used.
Yeah.
Okay. The Metal Zeta. Now we know this one, right? The difference is what I don't understand fully exactly is the, where does it say it? It's the Hyper Mega Launcher option set. Now it doesn't have a price now. And I don't know if it means it's a new release that comes with it, but I do know like the Metal Build Hainu has an extra rocket launcher and shield set that I want, but it's like $200 or $150. I'm like,
well, and they do this a lot with the Robot Spirits, right? They'll have like the option set that comes out, and then like maybe 6 months down the line, they have the special edition that comes with the option set.
Same with I have the Metal Build F91, and it had an option set with like all the guns that it could have. And when I bought it, I looked specifically for the set. So I guess it's nice to know there's going to be a set. So it's like, okay, this time I can save up a little, but we're about to get into some more stuff here shortly that it's like, how could you possibly save up for any of this?
Yeah.
Some more Exia stuff, which actually, I mean, this looks cool. It's just not my type of robot, but
yeah.
Not my robot. I don't know.
It's more likely than you think.
this Death Scythe, I think that's what that is.
It is.
Yeah.
I guess it's a Katoki version.
Yeah, and it transforms to a badass jet mode, which I would get it just on that alone.
It kind of looks like a crow, like just the yellow beak kind of.
That's true. Yeah, that's interesting. And that is that's almost death imagery, a crow.
Yeah.
What do you think? I'm thinking Edgar Allan Poe. Raven. It's more of a raven. Yeah. Okay. Okay, and this is a fixed figuration metal composite, which I don't have any of those, but
that's a lot of words.
There we go. That's another one. That's a Tamashii Nations Gundam fixed figuration metal composite, and then all that. Metal composite of it's, and it's weird that they have them in these different lines. Like, what's the difference between a metal build and a metal composite? You know,
right? Because all of them have mostly plastic, but they have like maybe a metal frame, right?
Right. Yeah, unless metal composite means it has more metal. I don't know. I've never had a metal composite.
What's
I don't know. And then this
somebody in chat has to know this stuff. Please let us know what the difference is between metal build, metal composite.
Yeah, and there's even like the metal robot spirits.
Yep.
Yeah. So. Some Zaku's, which is always nice. I mean, Zaku's must be popular if they make all these random variants. I think there are people that like collect Zaku's. Like, it's like a thing. You know what I mean?
I don't know who these people are.
Okay, but look at this, dude. Colony.
That I love it.
Like, I know. I didn't. Google was like a colony. It's like no. That and it lights up. It has sound. It looks like. So I wonder if it starts like the theme of, and it's like the narration of the opening.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Side 7 first version.
Interesting.
And then this fixed figuration metal composite Char Zaku 2, but I think they already came out with that, even though it says high mobility. So maybe that's the difference.
Yeah. Which it's like, okay, so it has the high mobility legs. Like,
yeah. You know, I mean, I think these things are usually like 250. So, All right. Now, this other page here, and again, this is on Dengeki Hobby, and I had to translate it, so. Okay, this is the one, the Big Zam. This is the one I want.
Large Sam.
It I mean, it just looks amazing. It has a lot of features. It lights up, like all those lights light up, and it has a projector of like when Dolzozabi is or Amuro is seeing that like
demon figure of.
Yeah. And I wonder if they have the shot of that in here. They don't. Okay. That's somewhere else. But there's a shot that shows it projected and you can change out. It has like two things to change out the projection. Here's, I guess, like what they were doing with the other one where they kind of show
the exploded view of like, you know, it reminds me of those books. Like, do you remember the cross section books that you would get like at the book fair? And it's like, ooh, this is what the inside of a ship looks like.
Yeah. That's, I love that. And at first I was like, oh, maybe I can do that with this. But no, I think it's just to show what goes into building it. But it comes with a little Dolzozabi. And that's awesome. And in the, I don't know if they have it in any of the shots here. Yeah, I got it from some other shots, but oh yeah, on the P Bandai page, it has it. And he looks painted, which is Robot Spirit, so you wouldn't expect that you'd have to paint. But from the 08 MS team, Robot Spirits, they do come with some people, but they're not painted. Mm-hmm. And so I like that they're. That hopefully that means that it's going to be a painted one. I don't know.
That would make life a little easier, but
it would. It looks like they're coming out with a new RB79 set. The ball
can't go wrong with a pair of balls.
That was well played. and then they're showing. I don't know what if that's supposed to be a certain type of Dom. Maybe because of the rocket launcher.
I was going to say, you know, these, the proportions of that Dom and the, well, I like that the Big Zam is like the anime proportions, right? It's like a little taller than, you know, typical Big Zams usually are a little more streamlined, like a little flatter.
Right. Yeah. This is from what I've seen, the Ver anime line.
It's got the goofy anime proportions. And I see the same thing with that Dom where it's like,
oh yeah, let me go.
It's got like a, the face is like elongated. It's kind of like one of those goofy frames of animation.
You're right. Yeah. And that's a Veranime too. So that is actually correct. And so this is another cool one because there is a booster fighter set. It's just super expensive and it comes with two, I think. Nice. And so this is one, it comes with stuff and it's actually made to be with a scene with the Big Zam. It's supposed to,
that's the only drawback of the real grade Gundam is that it only comes with one core fighter.
Well, I don't know if you noticed in my review, it seemed like you could, and I didn't realize this is how I was doing it, you could take out the core fighter and still put the Gundam together.
Yeah, it just has like a hollow tummy.
Yeah, and it almost seems like, too, it could be exposed if you're not careful. So at least that was going for it, but
but there are other versions of like the high grade Gundam even that come with two core fighters.
And I prefer that because I like to have it kind of set one way and then have the other thing on display. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Check this out. Prototype cost signature. Is it the Rick Diaz? Prototype Rick Diaz cost signature.
Pretty sweet.
Love it. The colors are like the Double Zeta prototype.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess this is technically the Gamma Gundam.
Oh, is that what the Rick Diaz prototype was called, the Gamma Gundam?
Yeah, because like there's the whole, I guess the deep lore is that like, you know, the Gamma Gundam is where like the Gundarium Gamma came from. And so it's like a prototype Rick Diaz, but it's like an MSV where it's like this is what the Gamma Gundam was supposed to be. But because they came up with like the idea of the Zeta Gundam, it was like, and same thing with the Epsilon. It was like they were supposed to be the SB Gundam, which was the Epsilon Gundam. And so they threw out these two ideas, made that into the Rick Diaz and the Epsilon Gundam. I think what, I don't know what they did with that design. I think they just kind of,
video.
There's the video. Look at that. I'm like,
exactly. You know what? I wish every time I said that my AI would pick up on that and then plan that for me. AI, you're not that great. Okay. I also like Ayug, like it's like the Ayug version, which that's cool. The metal, I think it's the metal robot cost signature. New Gundam is just getting an option part set, I think.
Which it's like if the one giant funnel wasn't big enough for you, you're gonna get a
giant cannon. And as much as I like the new Gundam, that doesn't interest me as much. Come on, Cat. See, Godzilla is here invading my space. It's causing a disaster. Okay.
Now, if I was in that situation, here's what I would do.
check this out. This more is Zeta. Yeah, so the Zeta, but it's another option part set for it, mm-hmm. which is interesting. Which I wouldn't need that, but it's interesting that they're selling it. Although this is metal robot cost signature. So what we saw before was the metal build.
So these tie into that short that is it from UC Engage? Did you see this, the short where no. it's like the Zeta Gundam, the double Zeta, and the new Gundam all kind of like team up and fire yes. a cannon together? Where this is from.
That's okay. Then that makes sense. So what's interesting is this is a metal robot cost signature, which I'm trying to think. I have, yeah, Metal Robot Spirits. So I have this one. But I guess they're probably re-releasing it with an option part set. It's hard to tell because it doesn't set.
Yeah.
It doesn't say. It just says.
Maybe it says figure not included there.
Yeah. And it has the name Eyefield Claw and Eyefield Blaster. Okay. And then look at the double Zeta. Look at that, Chonker.
The thing's a monster.
I know. So this is a Metal Robot Spirit, which... So I have both of them. But I want to say one of them wasn't a metal, and it was just a Robot Spirit cost signature double Zeta. So I wonder if that means they're releasing then... there's too many. It's like the metal build, Metal Robot Spirits, or Robot Spirits. And I got to pick one.
And I mean, do some of these, so like, would the cost signature option parts set be compatible with a standard Robot Spirits that's not a cost signature Robot Spirit? Like, there's so many conflicting. Yeah.
I really do think, because most of the time, no, because I remember when I did the review of the cost signature Zeta and double Zeta, you couldn't use any effect parts from the Robot Spirits line. So I really do think. It's interesting how it's Robot Spirits, yet it's its own thing. It's almost like Ver Anime and Cost Signature are like the two lanes that they want to use to get your money.
They really do need to consolidate these lines and like find a way to, you know, I'm not saying that they all have to be compatible, but like.
Yeah, there's it's too much when I have a Zeta Robot Spirits and there's a metal Zeta Robot Spirits, then a metal build.
Zeta. And then there's Zeta cost signature.
Oh yeah, and then the cost signature. I want them all, but I can't do that. You know,
right? And especially if you don't know the difference, because like I love being able to point to my wall and saying like, this is the UC88 high grade.
Oh yeah,
this is the real grade, and this is the 87 high grade. Like that's yes, they're all the same scale. Yes, they're all the same mobile suit, but they have differences.
Yeah, yeah, and I guess that's. That's why I like cost signature because of the decals and stuff. But then I like metal builds because they're a lot more sturdy and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's why like I have the Metal Robot Spirits Zeta that transforms, and I would love to see what a metal build is like to transform. You know, it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's this dude. I don't know who he is.
Starshine Gundam. I don't know.
Oh, that's pretty good. Let's see. It's Ganso, Artia, Chicago. I don't know. We can move on. Okay, check this out. I figure you'd like this.
I'm a big fan of the Galbaldi. It grew on me because I got to say, I was not a fan with the first time I watched Zeta and like something about it. It's like.
For me, it was like when I first watched Gundam where I thought the Zaku was the dumbest looking thing. But then over time, it grows on you for what it is.
You know why? It's because it looks like a Gelgoog took Ozempic.
That's pretty good. Yeah, it kind of is like that. It takes parts of Zeon mobile suits and kind of makes its own unique look in a way that doesn't really fit with any one design, you know?
Yeah.
And that was a Titan suit, wasn't it?
It was.
And it was piloted by that one...
Lila.
Lila. Okay. Mm-hmm. Lila. And that... Yeah, that's right. She was like the... She was over Jared?
Yeah, so she was a Federation pilot, but she, I guess, was a... I don't know, she was higher ranked than whatever the Titans were, which is funny because it's like, you remember the Titans were talking about like how they could talk down to Bright because Titans are considered two ranks higher than, it was like, this is the dumbest thing.
But at the same time, it's like, it's interesting how Bright is to his subordinates, but it's in a way of like discipline. But when people give him crap, he tends to just be defend. You know what I mean? Because I think it, you can kind of look back and be like, well, Bright is kind of doing it in that more figure authority role.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Titans were doing it as bullies.
Well, and you know what it comes down to is like, if it were Transformers 1, Bright would be Megatron. Or D in this case, where it's like he is a stickler for the rules. Like, you got.
But does Bright turn bad?
Does he? Maybe. From a certain point of view.
He did make Hathaway.
Yeah.
So you can almost say by extension what he was and what came out of that is this the story of Megatron.
Yeah.
That's actually very interesting. and along the way, the Optimus Prime are like the new types.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Amuro's your Optimus Prime there, right? He's the he's the one that's like, you know.
Oh, man, you know what it just made me think about, which this is a ridiculous idea that probably shouldn't happen. If they made a Gundam series where all the humans were actually Gundams and they had giant flesh people, they went inside.
See, this is like late stage Transformers, because they had the like after season three of Transformers in Japan, they went crazy with like the headmasters, the target masters. And then there was like the, I forget what they were called, but it was like, it was robots in disguise, because the Transformers would have like flesh suits that they would wear to like blend in with humans. And it was like,
wow,
how does that even work?
I can almost imagine like Optimus Prime as the flesh human transforming, just rips and shreds apart, guts everywhere. And then it's like a truck. I don't know. All right. And then there's this 45th anniversary.
Interesting color palette. I kind of like it.
Yeah, it is. Let's see if they have any more details on it. Earth color.
Oh, is it recycled plastic? It looks like there's some kind of recycling.
It must be. Yes, some knee slime. Okay, so that's interesting that they're doing that with robot spirits, not just Gunpla. So that's pretty interesting. And then look at this. Akas signature Rick Diaz.
Very nice.
It seems to be a little chonkier.
Yeah.
I like this. That's not a cost signature thing usually. Usually he slims things.
Yeah, I mean, and that's like such a Ka thing, right? It's like extend the legs, make it skinny. But this has some heft to it, which I really like.
I know. This would be one I would get for sure.
Now, so yesterday we were talking about like, you know, because that Rick Diaz kind of has like those random markings on it.
You're
talking about like, oh, they're kind of cool, but after a while, you realize that there's nothing to them. They're just like kind of.
Exactly. Luckily, and let me look back at this one has a lot of them. I didn't think about that. I mean, luckily, it wasn't enough to really shoot out at me. Like, I think this one doesn't have as many.
Very inoffensive on the.
Yeah, it's not as bad, because sometimes like down here, then on the skirt, it would just be a whole lot of it, or in the front. And it's kind of. Yeah, some of these have those things that just don't make sense to me. So this one's cool, because this was something I liked from Freedom.
Yeah.
Which was the Zagok, the Seed Freedom Zagok, that looks awesome, has the backpack. Like, this is awesome. But it's check so cool. this out. It even comes with the, I guess, an option part set perhaps, or.
Yeah.
And it's metal robot spirits. Like, I would get this. I would get this. As much as I don't care for Seed, I would totally get that. That was a cool part of Seed Freedom.
It was. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that was. And then some more Seed Freedom. Sorry, I'm going through it fast because kind of don't care, but it is kind of cool. Because I think that's where they put the stuff at the last that people care about the least. Sorry, Seed fans, but even this Gundam Age, or no, Reconquista and G. which
yeah,
it's like sometimes I remind myself how much Gundam I haven't watched yet.
You know, it's so funny because like, you know, I don't know anybody that really, there are people who like the idea of G-Reco, but they don't, they haven't said anything that like, oh, this is why it's good. Right.
I know. There's never been a time where someone was like, oh, Gundam Age this or G-Reco that. Never. Which would be great.
I'll take Gundam fans that don't exist for 300.
Yeah. Which, hey, hate to call people out, but after Wrecking for Vengeance, a lot of people saying this wouldn't happen in Gundam. And it's like, no, that's actually what is in Gundam. They are actually reflecting it. Like it really, and at the same time, it's like, I feel bad because it's more of people just love the robots, the Gunpla, that they actually don't really pay attention to story. And that's fine. That's like perfectly fine. It's almost an event in itself to spend time watching everything and taking in lore.
Yeah, it is. So,
yeah. But anyway, that just about does it, guys. That's the end of this episode. This was fun. I guess, you know, big takeaways. Sponsored by Art Rovo Gundam. Link in the description. You know, you buy two things, two or more, you get free shipping. Gundam Explain 78 is the promo code. And then that Anime Frontier, if anyone's going to that, let me know. I'd love to meet up.
Awesome.
And then if you haven't watched the live Steven and I did yesterday, tune into that. And you did your own unboxing video too, and you have a guest star in it.
Yes. So. Yeah. A small, small guest appearance,
which is pretty cool. But yeah, that'll do it. Thanks everyone that was in here. That was a lot of fun. It was fun talking about this stuff. But yeah, until always. Next time, be cool. See y'all.